play. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. This week, we'll be previewing the 2019 John Deere Classic. We actually have a tournament with some past event history. In order to break the whole thing down is my co-host, as always. You can find him on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. Just another Monday watching the Home Run Derby and talk a little golf with you.
Yeah, I'm surprised you agreed to this time.
I didn't have a choice today, unfortunately, but the good thing about I don't need to hear these guys say back over and over again. I can just mute's actually a better option.
So, yeah, I'm with you.
And we're about to talk about a field of Korn Ferry graduates and some still in the Korn Ferry Tour. So this is going to be a fun one. It's like when I looked at the field, when I started taking my notes, it wasn't as bad, but it wasn't good. It's not good. It's not good at all.
It's different.
I can see the lineups being built in my head. Do I feel good about the lineups? Probably not. But yeah, that's where we're at. And I'm not going to complain about the pricing because it's all about the size of the field, basically. But I can't wait to hear that around the industry this week. All the pundits, I'll call them pundits, that go, oh, this is the worst, so on and so forth, and they still put like hundreds of dollars in this week. So that'll be fun. Any thoughts, Matt Wolf? Four tournaments in, youngest player since Jordan Spieth to win a tournament. The dude was awesome. Our boy Murakawa, who been on pretty much since the beginning, when now everyone knows about him, unfortunately. So that luxury's gone. But we've been on that train for quite a while now. Those two boys balled out. Hovland, another great Sunday. You know, Bryson did great. Neiman kind of struggled on Sunday. But a lot of really good golf all across the board. Some of the big names. Brooks, another lackluster finish, which is getting everyone talking, of course. But all in all, it was great. Any thoughts on that? Because the finish, for those that have not seen the finish, was probably one of the best non-major finishes you'll see, with Bryson eagling 18 to take a one-shot lead. You have Morikawa and Wolf. I think Morikawa shot a 66 or 65, and Wolf shot a 65 or 64. And they were just like going back and forth, birdies and birdie on the last few holes, and then a 26-foot eagle putt by Wolf to win it, to prevent a playoff. Bryson, the footage of Bryson watching the eagle putt sink to know he couldn't go in a playoff was amazing. So a lot of rambling there, but any thoughts on the weekend, Jesse?
Yeah, I didn't get to watch much. I was actually on the course, and guy I was playing with, we were talking about, you know, kind of the tournament or whatever, and we were kind of toward the end of our round, and yeah, to see Bryson shoot up like that with that eagle on the last, and then Wolf to match it. I mean, just dropped a 26-foot bomb from off the green. I didn't even realize it was off the green. But did you see the pictures of him, like, before it even dropped, turning?
Yeah, basically like, walking it in, celebrating already. That was awesome.
That's pretty fucking cool.
That's like the stupid stuff we do on our muni. Like, they're talking crap the whole time, like, pointing to the guy over there to, like, pay me, and it's not even in yet. Yeah, he's doing it.
That's ballsy. But yeah, I mean, two straight miscuts for Wolf beforehand, and it's golf. But what a wild year it's been. I mean, it just adds to it. These new guys, another new guy winning, and just all these new guys playing very well. But to go back to, did you watch? I mean, like, were you keeping up with it much on Friday?
Yes, I was tilting my face off on my phone because I was trying to get to the airport, so I didn't get to watch much real footage, but I was watching it like second for second on my phone.
Well, the cut was like going back and forth between three and four.
Yeah, this was good.
And there was like maybe two groups left on the golf course. One of them had Cameron Davis in it. He made a birdie on his 17th hole and basically sealed the deal for 4 under being the cut. I mean, and it was like almost like right at 70 at 4 under. And then like somebody texted me, he's like, what's it going to be? And I said, well, you know, he's got to make, at the time I thought he had to make just a bogey, but he actually had to make double bogey in order for it to push it back to 3 under. And the dude makes a triple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On the last hole. I mean, that was like one of the craziest cut swings I've ever seen. And because it goes from like exactly 70 in to like 87. So there was a huge MDF on Saturday after Saturday's round. And yeah, that was a wild finish. But that ended up like this tournament, as much shit as we talked about it, you know, ended up being
really good,
pretty exciting and fun. I hope it attracts some maybe bigger names next year. I mean, like you said, Brooks, seriously, like it. I saw people, you know, tweeting about it all week. Like, you know, people are going to actually fade Brooks because, you know, of this whole track record he's got. I mean, what else do you do? I saw something today. It was like 6 of his last 7 finishes have been 50th or worse in non-major events.
If Cam Davis doesn't screw up on the last hole, Brooks doesn't make the cut.
No, he's not even making the cut. No. And then he had to squeak by to make the MDF.
Yep.
Then
he shot over par on Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I mean, he's weird, but maybe he plays DFS himself and he's just driving down his ownership for the Open Championship. But either way, you know, I mean, other than that, it was, you know, I had some 6 of 6s finally, and I was able to actually make some money on the week, which is nice when you only play GPP. So, you know, either way, it worked out decently well. And like I said, hopefully they'll get some bigger names up there. It seemed like a fun golf course, and that's a pretty fun finish.
Yeah, I liked it because, you know, I don't mind these kind of birdie fests when I have another birdie fest this week. You know, you mix in the tough courses, and that's where the big boys will show up and shine. But we've talked about for so long how good these young players are. And this group of young players we haven't even really talked about. They're fresh out of college, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I mean, him and Hovland, you know, teammates. Yeah, they were playing in the NCAA championship, you know, what, 4 or 6 weeks ago, something like that? Yeah.
Morikawa straight out of college, Sue straight out of college. These guys are out there contending like week in and week out. You know, Hovland a top 12 in Detroit, I think a top 13 at the Open. Morikawa at 35th at the Open. You know, great week at the week before obviously taking down or finishing second this week. It is a shame. You know, 2 weeks ago in Detroit, and then this week at John Deere, there's Open qualifying. Last week didn't count, so those boys aren't in the British Open, which sucks.
Yeah, but I mean, he did win $1 million, and he gets to play on the PGA Tour for the next 2 years. So,
well, I agree that doesn't suck, but I think it'd be pretty cool to see those boys out there because they just, what I love about it is they don't seem fazed. I know like the big boys weren't there.
Spotlight doesn't bother them.
But Bryson's a top 10 player. Like you have to think if I screw up and go to a playoff, Bryson's got a great chance of beating me. Like he's been here before, and these guys literally a 26 foot eagle, and he's celebrating before it's even in the hole.
Yeah,
the stones on that man.
Well, but I mean, you know, Bryson should have also run away with it after Saturday. He shot 70 on Saturday and let the field come back to him. So,
well, there was a few guys whatever. That did that. That was tilting. Like Neiman had a great Friday, didn't do much on Sunday. There's a couple guys that just had like one mediocre round and then a birdie fest that'll cost you. You gotta be going 3, 4, 5 under every round with a big round mixed in there to have a chance, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, going even par rounds, not great. Ask Sepp Straka, back to back weeks, bogey finishes to screw us. And you know what? I'll go back to Sepp again because if you look at his numbers, it's scary good. His just putting has been rough.
Is he playing this week?
Yes, he is. Yeah, he is. He's 80-1. He's $7,300. He's on my list. So yes, I got to keep going back to that. Well, one last thing on the Brooks deal. This reminds me of Tiger when I faded the Tiger train forever. I don't think I have played Tiger since his return to DFS yet. I still have not played him. And if I only make 3 lineups, if I did multi-entered, yes, I'd play him. But it's the same theory. Those guys that played him every week and they celebrate the 1 week he finally does something, you can piss off. Because I'm waiting for the Brooks Koepka guys to be like, oh, look, it's a small event. You finally did something. Yeah, how much did it cost you up to that point? Let me know.
Well, did you see, getting off topic, did you see Tiger's video from today?
I get up at 1 a.m. because I'm getting ready for the Open. Did you see how skinny
his face looked? How fucking
high was he? Yeah, you know how screwed up he looked? Like, that was not healthy looking.
No, who let him post that?
I don't know. That was such bad stuff. I saw that too. First thing that comes to my mind is he looks like he's strung out.
Yeah. He was like slurring words and stuff. It was odd.
Yeah. Anyways, such a weird. I'm with you though. Like that blew up on the internet too. Like everybody was posting it and articles were written on it. I'm sitting there going, yeah, I don't think so. That's just, that's odd. If anything, with the money he has, why isn't he just in Ireland like 2 weeks early?
Right.
Get accustomed to it. It's simple. But no. Well, we'll get into Tiger next week, but I'm not playing Tiger. I'll put that out there right now. But all right, let's move on to the John Deere Classic, the fifth major, according to many. I don't care if it is or not. It's a shitty tournament with a shitty field. We have nobody. There's nobody. The highest ranked player is Kyle Stanley, 56th in the world. Let's put it that way. That's what we're playing with. It'll be fun. We'll be into it. There's no doubt about that. But why don't you give us some past event history, Jesse?
I feel like it's a worse field than, like, the Ever? Safeway.
It is.
Or, you know what I mean?
The Safeway's had some bigger hitters there. Like,
right, like, I mean, Phil's up there.
Yeah, Phil's there. This is bad. This is like this is almost like the Punta Cana.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. It's like the Barbasol next week.
Yeah, this is like your tournament, but a week early.
Right. It's odd. I feel like there's usually bigger names here.
They're usually like Jordan Spieth won this thing. Well, Zach Johnson used to be a more important player too.
Well, so getting to what you were actually asking me about, Michael Kim won last year 27 under par, which is the record for the 4 days. 8 shots over Bronson Burgoon, Joel Dahlman. Franny played last year, and Sam Ryder.
Franny would have won it last year if Michael Kim didn't go postal on that place.
Yeah. Bryson DeChambeau was the 2017 champion, 18 under, 1 shot over Patrick Rogers. Ryan Moore was the 2016 champion, 22 under, 2 shots over Ben Martin. Jordan Spieth won this twice. Like you said, Zach Johnson's a past winner here. Steve Stricker's won it 3 times. But yeah, I mean, looking back at, you know, Jordan Spieth is probably the biggest name. Bryson's up there too, like you said. But I saw something where Zach Johnson fell out of the top 100 in the world for the first time since, like,
that's what I was saying. Is it used to feel like a big tournament because Zach was there, but he's not even important anymore. Like, he might barely make the. I don't think he's going to make the FedEx playoffs. Like, it's bad. But
he's
then
had a good year.
And we'll talk about it soon. You can finish up in a second. But with the course history, when we get to that, it's hard to fade CJ at the same time. So right. It's very tricky. But anything else on the course, the past history?
That's it.
All right. Course preview. I'm not going to go super deep here because this is a popular course. We've seen a million times. And the biggest thing about TPC Deer Run, par 71, a little less than 7,300 yards. It's not big. It's not long. And it's very, very scoreable. For I think Jesse, who's a very good golfer, could score on this golf course. Me, maybe not as much, but I could probably play bogey golf at this golf course. Maybe not from the tips, but I could play bogey golf here. It's some of the widest fairways you'll see on tour. Over 70% of the field on average usually finds the fairway, which is insane. It's usually about 120 to 150 yards in. It's a wedge fest or a very short iron fest. So if your approach game is on par, you're going to be birdie hunting all day long. The greens aren't like they're a little smaller than average, but they're not bad because they're super receptive. So when you hit them, they stick. And they're bent grass greens, which we saw last week. So a lot of similarities there. And super slow greens. They go about 11 and a half on the stem. So these guys are going to be able to putt. They should be able to putt very, very well. Like, if these guys are accurate off the tee and their approach game, that's, like, the most important thing to me is the approach game. They're going to be sitting pretty. There's 3 par fives. 2 of them are definitely reachable for everybody. The third one should be reachable for most. If you're not birding in the par fives or eagling the par fives, you're going to be falling back on the field. So it's going to be a birdie fest. This is a wedge fest. It's just – I'm not going to say bomb and gouge because you don't have to be a bomber, as you read off those guys that have won here before. You just need to be able to get off the tee, you know, poke it out there about 280 or so, have a nice little shot in. You're going to be just fine. It's pretty easy to scramble around the greens, they were saying. It's just not tricky. There's nothing fancy here that I need to really break down for you besides if your guy's really shanking it, well, he wasn't going to make the anyways. What are your key stats here, Jesse?
A lot of similar stuff from – last week, birdie or better is got to be high up on the list. Looking at proximity, opportunities gained, shots gained approach. Basically, I mean, you don't really have to wait. I don't think too awful much. Anything off the tee, like you said, like on average, they're hitting 70% of the fairway. So. But you can if you want to. And, I mean, you could deep dive into, like, the bent putting stats and that kind of thing. This is a more of a putting contest kind of like it was last week. Last week, though, I mean, it was a little bit – if you missed fairways, it became a little bit more difficult, I think. But this week, definitely looking at just, you know, the guys who are hitting a ton of greens. And then if you want to deep dive into putting, I wouldn't be against that. And then waiting putting in your model even is not something that I would be against or talk people out of this week. I normally don't weight putting, but I think this is a week, an okay week to do that because, you know, you got to get somebody who's going to make some putts.
Yeah, very, very slow greens. Like if these guys have any skill at putting, they can take advantage of things in a heartbeat because it's not going to be tricking too many people. A little fanshare sports for you guys coming in good form over the last six events when it comes to DraftKings scoring. Your top guys in this field, Joaquin Niemann leads the way, followed by Victor Hovland. Vaughn Taylor is third, averaging almost 77 DK points per event. Streelman, Sungjae, Morikawa, Malnati, Wolf, Tringale, and Brian Harman. The who's who of the John Deere Classic is coming in hot, and I sadly like a lot of those players in this field. When you look at the last four John Deeres are through 2015 that are available on sports through DraftKings, guys that have played this course well, Sim Ryder's played it well. He's played it once, played really well. Berdun's played it twice. He's averaging over 104 points in his two times here. Morgan Hoffman's played it well. ZJ's averaging almost 100 points. Bud Cauley's played it well. Michael Kim, Chad Campbell, who's been playing horrible golf, he's even played it well. So there's some guys that are coming in playing this course well. Another one, we'll get to him. I wrote him down earlier, but Andres Romero and Johnson Wagner have both played this course very, very well. Wags is averaging almost 85 DK points in the four tournaments he's played here. So, again, you're going to have to find an edge here somewhere because it's not sexy, but past event history could come into play in a big way this week. Well, on bent grass greens, obviously last week it'll factor a lot because Matt Wolf, Morikawa, and Lebioda all finished well in Detroit. They're top on the list, but in the last 10 bent grass events, Neiman's played all 10. He's averaging almost 86 DK points. Lucas Glover's averaging almost 78. Bo Hostler, 74. Kevin Tway, 71. If you want some bigger sample size, go check that out. And good course history and current form. Burgoon is on the list. Mackenzie Hughes, Niemann, again, popular name, Kevin Tway, are some to take a look at. And lastly, the boys at Fanshare asked if I could mention it. They just started their NFL package a little early this year. $99.99 gets you everything you need. Just use promo code ALWAYSPRESS. If you want the golf packages, it's 20% off with ALWAYSPRESS. But they just opened up their NFL packages for $99.99 for the football season. If you like the golf product, the football one's pretty sweet also. I use it a lot for that two-point conversion pod. We reference Fanshare quite a bit on that one. So if you've heard it there or heard it here, the product's great. Go check it out, fansharesports.com. All right, Jesse, let's do this. Let's do the DK action here. 10K and above. We got Victor Hovland at 10.9, Morikawa at 10.7, Wolf 10.5, Niemann 10.2, and Kevin Streelman at 10,000. Who do you like it, Jesse?
I mean, I can't, you know, I don't know what to say about it, to be honest with you. I mean, like, that is a wild fucking fivesome.
Well, did you see the tweet I put out today with the picture?
Do what?
Did you see the tweet out today with the picture? I took a snapshot of the all the 10K people.
Oh, and
the
there's no picture.
Don't even have a picture.
Yeah.
It tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. But so, you know, for me, I think all these guys are viable. Now, it's uncomfortable as shit to pay up $10,000 for Kevin Streelman or Niemann, for that matter, or any of these guys. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how ownership shakes out. And for me, that's kind of what will determine more than anything else who of if any of these guys I play up here. I think Hovland is the guy, though. I mean, like, he's the highest priced, hopefully drives down a little bit of ownership. And then he's the one who was really trending towards a win. And then Wolf just plays out of his mind last weekend and gets it done. So Hovland for me, I think Streelman at 10,000 is okay. And then Niemann too. I mean, Neiman's playing really good golf. I think Morikawa will be very popular. And then Wolf coming off a win, I just don't know. You know, I mean, two straight missed cuts, W. I don't think that he is playable this week. I hate saying that, but it's just, you know, he's 20-something years old. He's 21 years old. He just won a PGA Tour event. I mean, could prove me wrong. Went two in a row.
How many times have we said guys don't win back-to-back very often?
I mean, he's probably not. And that's the thing. Like, so people will think that too, and therefore he'll be low-owned, which makes me want to play him. But it's just hard to. As young as he is, he's secured his card for 2 years. you know, I'm surprised he's actually there. Other than I'm assuming he's probably wanting to qualify for the Open Championship, which makes sense. So
it's that in the FedEx, get that free.
So if you want to, you know, if you want to take that way of thinking that he's going to come to play again this week and try to qualify for the Open Championship, you know, I think you can get him at lower ownership. But I mean, really, if I'm up here, I really want to just grab Hovland. I do think against Drillman is an okay play as well.
Yeah, the three college kids, I like them all quite a bit. I'm curious to see where the ownership goes. I think Hovland will be the most popular. That's just me. He's been the most popular every time. A lot of people don't play the back-to-back winner, so you might get Wolf pretty low owned, as you said. I'm a Morikawa guy, but for me up top here, I'm going to go back to Neiman. I was on him last week. He was my one and done last week. Finished 23rd. If he just would have played, I think he's like one under on Sunday. He just didn't do it on Sunday. If he does anything, he top tens that thing pretty easily. But I like Neiman quite a bit. He popped on a lot of the fan share stuff we talked about, bent grass, you know, past events, current form, all that good stuff. He's coming in real, real hot. So I like him quite a bit in this one. He finished 23rd here last year. He's made six straight cuts on tour, no worse than the 31st. Obviously, you want more than that up top, but I like Neiman quite a bit. And then Streelman, I think, is really interesting because you said it's hard to stomach $10,000 for Kevin Streelman, but A, that's what this field is. We have to accept that. And the dude's coming in phenomenal form, six straight made cuts, you know, 34th, 35th last 2 weeks, but that's because he kind of fell, didn't really do anything on the weekend. He's kind of sat there and made pars and a couple of birdies. But prior to the 15th and a 4th, coming in really good form, finished 7th here last year. He's had 2 8th place finishes here as well. So he can play this course when he's in good form, and right now he's in pretty good form. So I think Kevin Streelman at 10,000, I think he's going to get super low owned. So I think guys are going to want to get the college kids, maybe even get Neiman. Or I'm not going to disrespect them while you're calling them the college kids. It's just easy to group them like that. Or go down to someone right below them at 9K. So I think Streelman at 10K, it's going to be fun to watch the ownership on that. Could be a really interesting GPP play just to pivot kind of off of everybody.
Yep.
9K range. We got Lucas Glover at 98. Side note, I tweeted it out. I was so happy he went low on Sunday because it shut up every asshole out there that talks shit about his wife beating him up all the time. So I'm just sick and tired of that crap. But that made me really happy. Whenever Glover does something well, it makes me so happy because you hear silence on Twitter about it. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But Glover at 98, Sungjae at 97, ZJ at 96, CH3 at 95. He's the biggest name here, veteran-wise. Harman, 94, Berger, 93, Moore, 92, Burns, 91, Clark, 9,000. There's actually a lot to like in this range for a field like this, Jesse. What do you like in this 9K range?
Yeah, I mean, I would start with Glover. He was coming off a couple weeks off there, came back, bounced back pretty well. He hit the ball well, tee to green last week. Wasn't really where I'd like for him to be on approach, but he's never really been gaining a whole lot of shots on approach or strokes, whatever you want to call it. He gained most of his strokes on putting. So take that for what you will. I mean, you know, you can either say, well, he's got the hot putter, so maybe if he just gets the ball striking, or you can say, well, he's not going to gain that many strokes at putting and fade him. I'll take the option of he's got the hot putter, so I'm going to stick with him, and then he'll figure out the ball striking. Sungjae, I think he'll be popular at $9,700, but he's totally fine. Harman at 94. Dude's trending toward, you know, playing better. Finished 10th here in 2017, which was his last appearance. He didn't play here last year. Where did he finish this past week?
I got him right here.
Again, have my shit.
I got it up there. So you got Harman. He fell apart a little bit on the weekend. He still finished 7th. He's got a 7th, a missed cut, and 8th in his last three events.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's like, he reminds you of ZJ, right? Like, he doesn't hit it far, very good with the wedges, and then can get a hot putter every now and again. That's kind of what you need around here. And then Berger at $9,300. You know, I talked about him again. He finished 5th here in 2017, and he made the cut last week and actually played a lot better on the weekend. We weren't losing shots with him on the weekend, so that's promising to me. So Berger and Glover are probably my two favorite. Harmon's right there with them. But I'm just will be interested to see his ownership on Harman. If he's highly touted, I don't know how much I'd rather go to Berger, but if he's not, then I might have equal shares of both. And then again, Sungjae, he's gonna garner ownership. He's just gonna
win.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he should, and that's funny that, you know, he was kind of the darling and now it's Wolf and Morikawa and Hovland, and here we are, but that's golf.
That is golf. And yeah, Sanjay leads the way for me. He's been 21st or better in his last four tournaments. So he's back in that, you know, we have to admit he's probably pretty worn down there for a while when he's missing those cuts, playing bad.
Right.
Took a little break, and now he's coming into form. And when you look at birdie or butter, I know we talked about it in the Slack chat 2 weeks ago. Ham Dog and the boys, they mentioned in tournaments like this where you want DraftKings scoring and birdies, Sanjay's a great guy for that. Because even if he has a bogey here and there, he peppers the greens and gives you birdie chances left and right. Yeah. So Sanjay at 97, a very interesting play. I like Chucky Three Sticks. He's made four straight cuts here. Didn't play here last year, but a 19th in 2017. Made five straight cuts on tour, three straight cuts on tour, 23rd his last time out. I think Chucky Three Sticks, very good cash game play, a little bit of GPP upside for him. I love Harmon. You pretty much hit on it. I think he's a very, very good play this week. He might be quite popular, but very good play. And then another guy I like a lot, I was on him last week, and it's Sam Burns. First time playing here, but finished 7th last week, 42nd, 43rd the previous 2 weeks, and that's because he fell apart on the weekend. But he's a birdie machine as well. So a field like this, he can play really well at 91. And then I'm curious to see what Wyndham Clark's ownership is. The dude popped off last week, really got it done. He's finished 5th, 17th, and 15th in his last three events. So coming in great form at $9,000. If ownership goes towards Harmon, I think the likes of like Burns, Clark, CH3 could be very, very helpful to kind of skew things around there and then throw him on top. That's where I'm looking in the 9K range.
Yeah, just one more thing. On Wyndham Clark, he's first in the field in DK points gained and second in birdie or better gained. So the dude's putting it up, and he's doing it mostly with his putter. So, again, like, you know, you can either take the stance of he's got the hot putter and that will continue. He'll figure out the ball striking, or, you know, you're going to fade him because of, you know, the volatility of the putter. But, you know, seeing those numbers, I kind of lead more toward playing him than not. So I might grab a lineup or two with him in it.
Yeah, I worry about some of the ownership up top here, but when we get down to these bottom guys, there's so many ways to navigate because they're so not as good, I guess, at the same time. So you kind of pick your poison and do the ownership game down below, at least in my opinion.
No, it's going to be a shit show this week because, I mean, like, yeah. Hypothetically speaking, this should be the lowest 6-6 percentage of the year. Now, it's been a fucked up year, and where the U.S. Open was supposed to have the lowest – you know, we got 20%, and then, you know, weeks where we've got 120 players, we're getting 6%. So it'll be interesting, but this should be a low own. Like, if you just shoot for 6-6 and getting 6-3, you should have a decent chance.
No doubt about it. Let's get into the 8K range here. You got Kevin Tway at 89, Stanley at 88, Cawley at 87, Palmer at 86, Lashley 85, Dahlman 84, Brown 83, Laird 82, Duffner 81, and Nick Watney at 8,000. What are you liking in this 8K range, Jesse?
I mean, hypothetically speaking, like, Kevin Tway would be one of my favorite plays. He's just, man, at 8,900, he is, like, this is the start of, like, the I don't know range. Now, with that being said, he's finished 50th, 12th, and 52nd in his last three appearances at this tournament. He's coming off a miscut at the Rocket Mortgage where he was semi-chalky. He was 10% owned. Before that, of course, he top five. Now, he can reel off birdies in a hurry, but his putter, you know, kind of freaks me out a little bit. So, you know, it kind of pick your poison. He rates high on the model, so I'm either going to trust that or not. But I don't mind him. Scott Brown, 8,300, and Martin Laird, 8,200. I like those two guys as well. Both of them had good showings last week. Scott finished 12th here last year, 25th year before, 16th year before that. He does have a top five here in 2014 as well. Kind of hit and miss all year, but that's, you know, that's the nature of this beast here. And then Party Marty hasn't played here since 2008, finished 29th then. Missed the cut at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, but he had a decent finish, did he not? Yep, finished 42nd. I mean, he shot 65 on Sunday. He had basically two good rounds and then two, like, mediocre rounds, which is what held him back. So we'll see on him. And then that's it for me in this range. I mean, there's, like, a lot of different names you could mention off here, but those would be the three that I'll be focusing on at this point.
Yeah, I just have three as well. Bud Cauley stands out to me a little bit here. Didn't play here last year, but the previous 2 years, a 12th and an 8th place. He's made 4 or 5 cuts at this event. 34th last week, so something to keep in mind with Bud Cauley at 8,700. I do like Scott Brown at 83. You mentioned that. He's made 5 or 6 of 7 cuts in the last 7 years here, and no worse than 25th with a couple top sevens in there. So I like that a lot. You mentioned last week T15 out there, so not bad either. And the only other guy I'd like to mention finished 2nd here last year. Didn't play the last 2. He finished 43rd, I believe, at the Open. No, at Rocket Mortgage. Is Joel Dahman. This is a guy, you know, not super long courses. He can poke and prod, stay in the fairway. He's got a decent short game. I think Joel Dahman at $8,400 is a guy that can contend here. We saw him actually almost win the Wells Fargo, which is not a short course. That's a bomber's paradise at times. So Dahman at 84 stands out as an option in this 8K range for me.
One more. I'm just going to keep doing this to you all day. Nate Lashley. From a stats perspective, so he's 4th in the field in the stroke screened approach. And his putter's been okay. Rakes inside the top 20 basically in everything except for proximity over the last 12 rounds. That I look at, everything I look at. So I'll throw Nate Lashley out there too as another guy. So Tway, Lashley, Brown, and Laird for me in this range.
I don't hate it at all. Now it gets a lot of people. That's just the best way to put it. 7K, it's a lot of stuff and things down here. Who do you like 7,500 and above?
I'll start with the dude, Cameron Tringali. Another good showing last weekend. He finished 42nd again. He shot 11 under. He had kind of just one mediocre round, which held him back or whatever. But from a stats perspective, he really rates out highly as far as on the model that I've done on Fantasy Golf National, 6th overall. He's 5th in approach, 9th in DK points gained, 4th in birdie or better gain. So I feel like he just keeps trending. Thankfully, the ownership came down a little bit last week. It'll be interesting to see if that, pretty mediocre finish there. So hopefully it doesn't bump him up too much. Mackenzie Hughes, another guy. He's been playing well. Not a huge fan, but I think he's fine. I'll let you tell me if it's Danny Lee week or not. he's shaking his head no, by the way, for those who...
I'll explain in a minute, but okay. He tilted my face off hard last week.
And then Sam Ryder. He finished 2nd here last year, and he's been playing well. Of course, again, not everything's loaded up for me here, but he finished 34th last week. So the I think he's trending upward as well, and at $7,500, I'm definitely, will bite on that. Another guy is Troy Merritt, good putter, been around here a bunch, never really had a whole heck of a lot of success, but I feel like he's playing better here more recently. He did finish.
Troy Merritt.
Yeah, he finished 7th. He finished out of the top 10 last week, and that was off a really good weekend, 66-68 on the weekend. So.
The good thing with Merritt, he's kind of an all-or-nothing guy. He's either going to go low or he's probably going to miss the cut. That's what he does. So, good GPP play for sure. A couple guys for me. You mentioned Sam Ryder and Troy Merritt. I like them both. They're on the list for sure. We'll go backwards up to 79. But at 76, Dylan Fratelli is very, very interesting to me this week. He's a guy that he plays pretty well on lackluster fields, let's put it that way. First time playing here with back-to-back 46s on the last 2 weekends in Minnesota and Detroit. And he can go low with the birdies at times, just the bogeys tend to kill him. The one I'm interested in at, and I was talking to someone on Twitter before we recorded, is Vaughn Taylor. I talk about it all the time on kind of – I don't want to call this a pitch-and-putt course, but it's essentially a pitch-and-putt course. Like if you can wedge it in, these are courses that suit Vaughn Taylor. Think about RBC Heritage and – the old Canadian Open and small course like Safeway, like you said, courses like that where you don't have to bomb and gouge it. Vaughn Taylor shows up at those events and at least competes and makes it interesting. Didn't play last week, but 46 and then a 4th in his last 2 events, the 4th at the Travelers, another smaller course. He finished 34th here last year, 19th the year before. He's finished 6th here back in 2010. So Vaughn Taylor has my attention at 77. He also was on some of those fan share data points. I think it was the Bentgrass or the John Deere scoring as well. So Vaughn Taylor's a guy to keep in mind. I do like McKenzie Hughes. I've been on him the last few weeks. He's just consistent. I think he's a good cash game play, some GPP upside. He's made five straight cuts, 66 last week, but then 21st, 51st, 14th, and 8th. Finished 16th here last year. I think he's very much in play. And then a play I'm going to go back to well, because I think there's a lot of correlations between last week, even maybe the week before, to this week, and ride some good current form in here, is Pete Malnati. He's made seven straight cuts, 46 last week, has gone as high as 17th. If you go back nine events, he's made eight of nine cuts, including a ninth and a 16th. Missed the cut here last year, but in the 44th and 27th time before that. He's a birdie man, big-time birdie maker. I could go back and look at his scoring, but it was bogeys, and you feel like you're out of it. You go on birdie stretches. The dude just scores, and without any water in play here and stuff, he can kind of get a little wonky and be okay. So I think Pete Maldonado at 79 is a good drafting score and somebody to take advantage of at that price point. All right, I'll just go quickly through the 7,400 and below. I think Johnny Vegas is sneaky, weird, interesting. In a field like this, he used to be like the top 50 WGC type guy. He's 7,400 bucks. He hasn't been playing much. He didn't play the last 3 weeks. Missed the cut at the Open. Took a week off. Missed the cut. A 31st, a missed cut. He's been kind of not around. I don't know what it is. He's finished third here back in 2014. If it comes to GPPs, I'm assuming he's healthy. We maybe look more into it. But a guy like Johnny Vegas, like, we've seen him dominate the RBC Canadian at that old course. He could dominate a course like this. He really could. So I think Johnny Vegas at 74 in a GPP is very, very appealing to me. HV3 at 74, again, a guy that's kind of a little rusty since the PGA, but a guy that can play well here. I'll go back to Sepp Straka. You know, missed cut, an 11th, a missed cut, a 28th. Those missed cuts were on back-to-back bogeys on his last two holes. This could be a five-cut streak going on here. So Sepp at 73 is in play. Ryan Armour, only at 7,300 bucks, is really cheap in this field to me as well. A good ball striker, good approach guy. Three straight made cuts, 42nd last week. So Armour's got my attention. And then a couple of others I mentioned in the recent form and the past drafting scoring at this event. Johnson Wagner, 16th, missed cut, 5th, 5th, 7th in the last five events here. 23rd last weekend. I think he's a really interesting play at 7,200 bucks. A lot of salary savings there with some good course history. And like I said, a 23rd last week. And the last guy I'll mention, and this is another kind of recent form course history type play, is Andrés Romero. He's made six of seven cuts here, including a 7th place last year, 25th the week before. Didn't play last week, but then a 39 in Detroit and a 49 at the Travelers. He's $7,000. I think he's another cheapie you could take a stab on compared to some of these other guys down below, and that's where I'll be going with Romero and Wagner, really down below, but some other guys there as well. What are you looking at, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, I'll back your call there on Vegas. I was looking at him as well beforehand. I mean, just from a really just a pedigree perspective at $7,400 in this field, very GPP-esque. Hopefully he's taking off some time to try to figure some shit out. I mean, he's been up and down. I mean, he did have an 8th place finish at the Wells Fargo this year. He finished 3rd at the Players' Championship earlier this year, and then just kind of fell off more recently, but on very different courses. At the U.S. Open, the Memorial, there are much more difficult courses than what the Players will face this week. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. My only concern with him is, you know, do a lot of people see that name there and just auto-click? And just drive up his ownership kind of out of nowhere. That'll remain to be seen there. But Sepp Straka, yes, I agree. You know, if he's going to continue this made cut, missed cut thing, you know, I would hop back on this week. Austin Cook, I think, is interesting just from a kind of a course history type of deal. Three straight missed cuts for him. Before that, he finished 27th Memorial and 18th or 19th at the Charles Schwab. I mean, he is – had a really, really weird year, but he played well here last year. He finished 34th. And just looking at course history stats, that round, those four rounds that he played last year, he actually hit it really well around here. So kind of interesting to me. I think this is the week to go back to Doc Redman. I mean, I know a lot of people were on him last week, just trying to chase the whole week before. But if, you know, I mean, his ownership will come down way down this week. He missed the cut, so he had a weekend to kind of think about some things or whatever, try to figure some shit out. So this is the week that I would play him if I was going to play him. Lebioda, you mentioned him earlier and on Bentgrass or something when you were talking about Fanshare. I like him. And then Roger Sloan at $7,100. He finished 18th here in 2015, finished 21st at the Rocket Mortgage Classic 2 weeks ago, and finished 15th last week. Just rates out really well as far as like stats wise. He's eighth on my model. He's third in opportunities gained. So if he can get the putter going, you know, he to me is a sneaky play that nobody, well, at least I wouldn't think a lot of people would be on. So Roger Sloan down there for me, with Sepp, Doc, Austin Cook, Vegas, and Lebioda.
Works for me. All right, let's get into the really fun part. 6K range. I got four guys written down. Who are you looking at?
Yeah, this is, you know, super extra sketch down here this week. David Hearn at $6,900. He's been around here a bunch. 16th here last year, missed cut the year before that, but then made three straight cuts at this golf tournament before that. He played on the Korn Ferry Tour 2 weeks ago and finished seventh. I think he was in the field last week, was he not? Yeah. He made the cut last week, finished 58th, shot even par on Sunday. I mean, nothing spectacular, but again, you know, we're at $6,900 in this Korn Ferry field here. Adam Sevenson is another guy who played well last week. He finished 15th. Yep, Sevenson.
I'll tell you this Svensson. Much. This much. It's re-recorded a little later. I got to listen to Mayo today. He's in love with Sevenson.
Oh, fuck.
He's a Canadian.
Well, yep. And there goes that ownership. Sky high. This is a Stewie Sink week.
Yes, the Stugo in a field like this.
Yeah. Oh, he's, come I on. Mean, 40th missed cut, 52nd in his last three appearances at this golf tournament. You know, he started really well at the Rocket Mortgage Classic and then just leveled off. He had taken some time off. It's kind of like a burger type of thing where he's just getting back into it. So at $6,600, I'm willing to take some chances. Tyler Duncan at $6,600 as well. He can reel him off a lot in a row. And then just as a super duper punt, you know, if you're playing 100 lineups, you might have one or two. Tyrone Van Asvigan. I was just looking at some course history stats. He's not had a whole heck of a lot of success around here, but he has hit it well around here at times. So $6,300 would be the super punt for me.
I like it. I have T Dunks on the list, 6,600, 12th here last year. Finished, you know, MDF last week, missed the cut in Detroit, but then 43rd at the Travelers, 60th a few weeks prior to that. Like you said, he's just a birdie machine or it's going to be a blow up course like this. Take your chance with the birdie machine. $6,600. I like that a lot. Robert Castro or Alberto Castro is a guy I like at $6,700. I've played him in a lot of other fields, like stronger fields at this point. So I like his just cut ability. But 46 last week, 59 the week before, missed cut 35th. You know, he's missed two cuts here, but then finished 44th back in 2015. $6,700 coming in decent form. I don't hate that. But for me, it's like, you know, go to T-Dunks or just punt. Like, we're punting. There's two guys. One at $6,400. Richard Wurwinski. I like 36 cut 60th his last three events. But the thing that got me the last 2 years here, 23rd and 25th. $6,400 of course history like that. I'll take my gambles. And then last but not least, Bobby G., Mr. Pothead himself, Bobby Garagus. And, you know, I don't mind if he does it at all. It's freaking legal everywhere you go now. 74th and 20th in his last two events since being allowed back on the tour after suspension. And he's made six of nine cuts here. But one was a DQ, one was a missed cut, and one was a withdrawal. In the sixth events he played here, he was 30th or better in five of the six, 24th or better, or 25th or better in four of those six. So it's a guy that, you know, similar to Vegas, he loves like that RBC Canadian, kind of those keep it in the fairway, wedging type tournaments. Bobby G is very good at that. And at $6,300, you can probably do worse down at the bottom than by guys like Bobby Garagus. So I don't mind taking a chance on that.
One more.
Yes.
Again, Josh Teeter. I know he was
playing well.
Yeah, he missed the cut last week, but he's played a lot better around Deer Run. He hasn't played here since 2015, but he finished 28th then, miscut year before, 2012, 36th, 45th and 11th, 2010, 21st. He, you know, his ownership kind of got up there last week because he got the Mayo bump. He was up around 6, 7%, and it should be back down to, you know, the 1, 2% range this week. And this would be the week to go back to him and look for the bounce back.
Yeah, I like that. You said miscut last week, but then 35th, 36th at Detroit and Travelers, a 63rd and then a 17th in his previous two events. So right, coming in pretty good forms, you know. There's nothing against Josh, but, you know, guys down below, you don't expect them to make all the cuts. So if you give me 4 out of 5 with a punt, I'll take that every week. Like, right, that gives you some pretty good stuff. And so, yeah, I don't mind that call at all, especially, like you said, he knows Deer Run, kind of closer to home. So a lot to like there. Not real close to home, I guess, but, you know. I said it, like, wait a minute, no, not quite. Yeah, it's close. It's closer than he's been.
It's closer than Minnesota.
It's
probably close to Detroit from anyways. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That foot and mouth right here. all right. It's the John Deere Classic, everybody. Let's recap things real quick. Jesse, 10K and above, give me one guy.
Hovland.
I'm gonna go Neiman. But if Streelman is like low owned, I'm going to be having too much, I think.
Yeah.
9K range. Give me two.
Glover and Berger.
I'm going to go M and Harmon. But if Harmon's chalky, I'm going to Burns. I think Burns is a good play too. I think a lot of people are going to start in this 9K range if they don't go to Hovland. So, but we'll see. 8K range. Give me two guys.
Lashley and Tway.
Lashley and Tway. I'm going to go with Dahman and Scott Brown. God, that is nasty to say. That is really rough to say. 7,500 and above, give me two.
Tringali and then Merritt.
I'm going to go Malnati and Hughes and then Taylor a close third, but there's a lot I like in that little spot there. 7,400 to 7,000, give me two.
Sloan and Straka.
Yeah, I'm going to go Wagner and Armour. Those would be two guys I'd be looking at. All right, 6K range. Who's your favorite 6K play if you had to play one?
Ooh. Dang. I mean, I really want to say Sevenson, but that ownership is just going to be jacked up there. So I'm going to say Teeter.
I like it. I'm going to go Bobby G, Bobby Garagus. Just punt it and say, screw it. That's where I'm going there. All right, Jesse. Give me three GPP players.
Sloan would be one for sure. Lashley, I think, is another. And then,
Wyndham Clark.
I get those guys confused because they're like the same person. No, Lashley. Lashley was correct. Because if you remember, like a while back, I was talking about both of them. And anyways, long story short, I like your call on Strowman too. I mean, I think at 10K, I hope his ownership is not bumped up. And he's, you know, he's playing really well at this point. So, and he's got the courses.
I agree. There. He's continued fields before. So, GPP, boom or bust. All three of these guys could win this. All three, we could already see the Slack chat on Friday MFing them. Give me Lucas Glover, Daniel Berger, and Johnny Vegas to start your GPP lineup. That's all or nothing right there. Give me three cash game guys.
Ooh, cash this week, buddy. Ooh, my word.
5 to 6 should cash this week.
I mean, I would probably start with Glover in my cash lineup. I think Harmon's a decent cash play as well. And then like a kind of a, I mean, I would go back to like Tringali again. Like, you know, for me, it's really difficult to play cash this week. But
yeah, very difficult. My three cash game plays would be CH3, Brian Harmon, and Mackenzie Hughes. If I'm starting cash, that's where I'd be starting.
Yeah.
All right, this is a week where a lot of first timers win here. That's not saying much when probably 90% of the field here doesn't have a win, if not more. Who do you have winning this thing, or who are some guys you're interested in on their odds?
What's Tringali's odds?
That's your boy. Let me find him real quick. What's his DK price?
77.
77 Cam Tringale, 65-1.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. What about whew, yeah, I mean that, like, that would be probably like my number one, but I mean, long shot wise, what about what kind of odds are on? I hate to say Berger because I don't think he's there yet. I really don't.
He's 29-1.
Yeah, I mean, that's not terrible. Fuck, I'm so bad at like just that portion of betting is, you know, yeah, trying to find value or whatever. So.
Yeah, well, I got a few I wrote down. Sungjae at 25. If he's going to win, this might be the time to do it. Mackenzie Hughes at 67. Sepp is 80-1 still. Not quite what we got last week. And if you want a long shot, Wierenski, who's finished 25th and 23rd here. So if you want to T20 him or go for the Augusto, he's 200-1.
I like it.
I'm telling you, in fields like this, why not throw some darts out there, boys and girls? Yeah. We saw Dyer work on our Slack chat. He put like $5 down on Wolf, and Wolf was like 120-1 or something. So yeah,
everybody in the industry cashed the Wolf ticket last week. Everybody's on that.
Popular. Hey, all right, that wraps us up.
I'm not trying to take anything away from anybody. I'm just saying.
No, I got you. That'll wrap us up this week. Any final thoughts on this before we go into the British Open next week?
It's actually the Open Championship, Bubba.
No, it's the British Open. We've talked about this before.
No, I mean, I don't have a whole heck of a lot. Are we still planning on trying to record Sunday potentially, or do we know?
That's the plan. Okay. If our guest is able to on Sunday, that is the plan. Cool. Yes.
All right. Well, if for those who like to watch on YouTube or whatever, we should be live on Sunday. And then, it's going to be a tilt fest week. I think I'm really just going to concentrate on trying to get 6-6 through the cut and see what happens. That should be low. So probably going to avoid as much shock as I possibly can too.
Yeah, this is a good week. Like, there's some of us don't care about worrying too much about ownership unless it's like stupid ownership. But this is one of those weeks, like I mentioned, especially when you get into the 7Ks and everything, where these guys are just like almost like it's that Spider-Man meme where they're pointing at each other. They're the same player. Take the low owned guy, basically.
Yeah.
And that'll help you out. That'll help you out a ton. Like, these guys are both, you know, basically the same mediocre golfer that has a chance this week. Go that route. So right. That'd be my 2 cents. But join us in the Slack chat. It's free. And we'll be answering questions in there. There's already guys getting ready to chat about it. Earlier today, they were taking a little breather with all the other sports kind of off right now. But they'll be back in there, so come check it all out. All right, you can find Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. The podcast at Always Press DFS. A rating and review would be much appreciated. And I am at BD Intrick. Until next week, this was the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2019 John Deere Classic. Catch you later. Oh,